University of Florida researcher Arnold Schumann, in this interview with Southeast AgNet's Tacy Callies, discusses growing citrus hydroponically.
The hydroponics experiments we're conducting are all in containers, growing trees in containers. That's the big difference, the big move we made away from growing in the ground. And there were a number of reasons for those, but mainly related to the idea of growing trees outdoors and as and when infections with greening occur, to be able to reverse them using whole tree thermotherapy, meaning that we can treat the roots in the pot, just transport the whole tree to a chamber and reverse it. So everything's looking pretty good at the 15th month of the experiment now. And we were surprised by a good crop of fruit and produced in the first year of these trees' time in the ground or in the pots. Looking at 90 boxes per acre for honey murcott and up to ranging from 150 to 190 boxes per acre for Ray Ruby grapefruit. On various rootstocks, but the good thing about the containers we have discovered is that they allow just about any rootstock to be used, because the dwarfing that occurs, which is necessary for us in a hydroponic high density system, can be provided by the pots because they constrain the root system.
So hydroponics is growing without soil. Can you tell us what material is in the pots?
The media to simply hold the roots in place is a 50% blend of Canadian peat moss and perlite. And that's it. No grow of soil. Eventually that gets replaced by almost entirely roots. That's what we're told. So we are only in the just after more than 1 year of growth, but that's what we expect to see. Eventually that will decompose. The peat moss will decompose and we will be left with just pure roots in the pot. And it makes for a very efficient system for nutrient uptake. And all the, as hydroponics suggests, all the nutrients are supplied in the fertigation stream, meaning everything from nitrogen to chlorine. So it's 13 elements that are essential for plant growth.
What are some other benefits of growing hydroponically?
The usual ones, meaning high yields, early yields, and as I said, it came as a bit of a surprise to us. We did not expect that much fruit in the first year, let alone viable fruit that's of good enough quality to sell. But we've tested it, we've been eating it, I dare say, and it's good. It's good quality. So it is viable in just 1 year. We're using hydroponics to accelerate growth and production so much that you can have first year fruit yield to the tune of nearly 200 boxes per acre. And the projections for the next year and following years are to it more or less double every year until it plateaus off at about 1,000 boxes per acre. And that's coming from 870 to, that's the minimum number of trees per acre, 871, which is a 5 by 10 foot setting. And we are experimenting with a higher setting of 4 by 8, which gives us 1,361 trees per acre, 1361. And obviously that gives you even earlier yield and some benefits with smaller growing varieties like murcott. Grapefruit's a larger tree, so we are sticking to the 871 trees per acre.
Are there any challenges to growing hydroponically?
Yes, nutrition, and probably more so, a challenge occurs with nutrition in pots because there just isn't any backup. There's no very little buffer. The pot sizes we are using are 5 gallon, 7 and 10 gallons. We're experimenting with three sizes, but even in a 10 gallon pot, there's very little reserve of anything there. So you have to be constantly vigilant for supplying all the nutrients at the right time and the right amount. And that's been a bit of a moving target, but we've learned a lot and we've got it worked out. One of the big successes that we, through trial and error, that we discovered last year was to switch our iron chelate source from an EDTA chelate to a EDHA, which is commercially known as a sequestrine 138. There's other trade names also, but it's the pH, high pH resistant form of iron chelate. And it's EDDHA version. And that's totally revolutionized the iron nutrition. We had a lot of chlorosis before discovering that. And despite all our efforts for iron foliar sprays, other sources of iron fertilizer, we could not solve it until we've changed to that sequestrine product. So, yes, there's a lot to learn. But, you know, that's what the research is about. So we can through trial and error, make mistakes and learn and pass those, that information on.
And how do you prevent the trees from outgrowing the pots? And also, can you speak about preventing root circling?
The pots, being that they constrain the roots, will automatically dwarf the trees. If further size management needs to take place, we are hoping to do most of it through setting huge crops of fruit on these trees. That is one of the best, most successful tree size-constraining mechanisms, because it's highly profitable, so we want to set lots of fruit on them. That does restrict vegetative growth. Secondly, we have a hedger now, and we will plan to do some hedging as the last resort. But number one is to simply manage tree size with the pots. And then the inevitable circling of roots that could occur in a round pot, we are using a design of pot that has corrugations on the circumference as well as holes. And when a root reaches the holes, it's guided to the hole by the corrugations, it gets air pruned, and that prevents root circling. So far the research we've done has shown it to be successful.